if we want to ensure that we have got a salmonella-free supply chain, there are different actions. So the first is ensure that the chicks are salmonella negative. The second action, of course, is good biosecurity. And the third and fourth action together we can consider as a single action or two different actions is water hygiene and feed hygiene.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an Ecolab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery.
Ready for more sustainable poultry production? New data suggests that decreasing bacterial loads in feed using Termin 8 supports enteric health, leading to improved performance. Gut health is more than a gut instinct. Learn more today at www.anatox.com.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Doug Korver, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the poultry industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. If you find this episode interesting, please let us know by visiting our website at wisenetics.com. Our guest today is Dr. Antonio Ricci, who is the Technical Director at Anatox for Europe, Middle East, and Africa region. Dr. Ricci is a poultry veterinarian with a master's degree in infectious diseases. He's been working as a senior poultry veterinarian at Poultry Health Services and Slate Hall Veterinary Services, both in the UK. He's looking after large poultry integrators, both layers and broilers. He's been working as a poultry specialist at IDEX, one of the largest animal diagnostic companies in the world. He regularly conducts consultancy and biosecurity slash salmonella audits to visits to large poultry integrators and feed mills in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Welcome to the program, Antonio.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you very much for your nice introduction. It's a pleasure for me to be here today.
Can you tell us a little bit about your career path in poultry health? What interested you in animal health and poultry health specifically?
Yes. So basically, I'm actually born in a family that was already working with poultry. We got our own, my family had, we had our own farms. And so I didn't consider many other options when I went for my veterinary school because I always wanted to do poultry. The only difference is that I'm originally from Italy, and I was not expecting me to move to UK and to be a poultry vet in UK rather than in Italy. But in life, sometimes you just need to go along with the plans. So I've been working as a poultry vet for the last 15 years, and I've been working for large genetic company, breeders company. That was how I started to work in UK. And then I went also to work for IDEX, as you mentioned before, to be the poultry specialist for diagnostic companies. And I went back into practice because I was really missing practice a lot for one of the largest poultry veterinary practice in UK. And we were looking probably after the largest poultry integrators in Europe, meat producer for broilers, and also one of the largest egg producer for layers in Europe. And I joined Anatox around 6 months ago because they offered me a good opportunity to be a technical director for all IMEA. And we share with Anatox the same passions on targeting salmonella because I was basically, most of my activity as a poultry vet was carrying out biosecurity visits and audit for salmonella control in poultry. So Anatox is sharing the same passions, basically, which is targeting salmonella in poultry. And we got along very well. So here I am now.
So you mentioned that one of the things you're working closely on is salmonella in poultry. What do you think the public should know about how the poultry industry approaches control of salmonella and the wholesomeness of foods coming from poultry?
Yeah, basically, I'm talking mainly, we got a similar Europe and US. We basically are very similar for the Salmonella and the Campylobacter control, for example. But it's interesting when you see that, so it's not surprising that the two most common zoonoses in both US and Europe are Campylobacter first and second Salmonellosis. And poultry play a very important role in that, both because of meat and eggs consumption. So if you go to check all the stats, we see that Salmonella cases over the last 30 years are decreasing, but there is still there a lot of work that we need to do to reduce it further.
So obviously Salmonella has the potential to be a human pathogen. What about in the birds? How does Salmonella behave in the birds? Is it a health problem for the birds? Are they simply carriers, or is it more subtle than that?
Yeah, this is another differentiation, which unfortunately is changing over the last few years. Historically, for the human's point of view, we have been targeting Typhimurium and enteritis. And the main reason is because these two are still the most common Salmonella found in human for hospitalization point of view. Usually, these two species do not cause many problems in birds itself. That's mainly a human concern. That's why we are targeting these strains. The problem is that because of globalization or change of procedures, we are starting to notice also some changes. For example, Salmonella infantis in Europe is starting to be a concern, which is another Salmonella that is able to cause problem in humans as well. So we may change, unfortunately, we can increase the number of Salmonella that we are targeting in poultry in the future. Other Salmonella that are pretty pathogenic for birds, for example, Gallinarum, Pullorum, they are not a reason or concern for humans, except for the economical sides, because if you're investing into poultry, you don't want those Salmonella in your flock. And then there are other Salmonella, for example, the one in US, in Europe, touching wood, we still don't have many of that. Kentucky, for example, and other Salmonella, which are characterized more because of the antibiotic resistance, which is another reason of a concern. So in reality, we are targeting Typhimurium and enteritis, but in practice, we should target all the species of Salmonella. We don't want any species of Salmonella in our poultry, both the species that are able to cause damage in the birds or not. We just simply don't want any Salmonella species in our flock.
So is there a lot of overlap in terms of how you would control one species of Salmonella versus another, or they're broad-based approaches that kind of work against all the types?
Yes, this is a good thing, because very good question, because, for example, for the vaccination point of view, unfortunately, there is not much overlapping. There is some cross-protection between Salmonella vaccine, but not as happened in other disease, for example, infectious bronchitis, when you see that there is much more cross-protection. The good things for Salmonella control in poultry is that all the solutions that we have got at the moment, they are targeting all the different species of Salmonella, which is very good, which makes our job easier if you really want to get rid of your Salmonella problem.
So our discussion today has been mostly about layers. So how do we build a Salmonella-free supply chain for commercial layers? Where does it start? How do we carry it through to the consumers and protect consumers from Salmonella?
Yes. So basically, if we want to ensure that we have got a Salmonella-free supply chain, there are different actions. I'm trying to reduce everything to 3-4 steps, four more important actions. The first, of course, is to ensure that the chicks that we are getting, in this case pullets, are Salmonella-free, Salmonella-negative. And I will talk a bit more in deep later about each of these actions. So the first is ensure that the chicks are Salmonella-negative. The second action, of course, is good biosecurity. And the third and fourth action together, we can consider as a single action or two different actions, is water hygiene and feed hygiene. Basically, with these four actions, we are going to reduce the chance that our birds get infected based on all the, reducing the contact of vector and factors which can spread Salmonella. And let's talk a bit more deep, for example, starting from the getting from the beginning, negative flocks, negative chicks. Today, it's easier to get negative chicks. It's not like it was 20, 30 years ago, because we changed the way that we are dealing the breeder, the hatchery, during transport. So it's much easier to get negative flock. That doesn't mean it's not happening. You can still get positive chicks, but it's very rare. Most of the time, it's not even coming from the breeders, but if it's coming, it's mainly to do hatchery contamination, eggs contamination, so contamination during transport. But the things you can do is always check some country by law, because of legislation, you must check the chicks anyway for salmonella, chicks on arrival. And I would suggest to do both serology and antigen tests like PCR, so you can take a different stage if it's early infection or old infection. It's relatively cheap testing because you will be doing pools. So this is the first action. We need to start with negative flock. Once that we know that we are starting with negative flock, then biosecurity comes into action. We need to ensure that we are not infecting, contaminating our negative birds. So good biosecurity, it's extremely important because the people working on farm, the procedures, the equipments that we are using, also the ventilation system, for example, that's all important in reducing salmonella spreading. We need to create the sheds, the house where the birds have, must be rodents-proof, must be wild birds-proof, and the people on farm must be very knowledgeable. We need to empower more the people working on farms. They need to feel responsible what is happening on a daily basis on a farm. So this is the second point. And then we've got water management and feed management. Water and feed is what the birds are eating every day. They are in contact with water and feed every day. So we must ensure that water and feed are salmonella free. For the water, it's a bit easier. Water sanitation programs are very common. And to be honest with you, it is difficult that we found salmonella in water. It can still happen, but during all my years of activity, you can bump into high TVC level, high level of pathogens in the coliform, for example, Enterococcus, Pseudomonas, but it's very rare to find salmonella in water. It can still happen, but a good sanitation program for the water will help you at keeping the water salmonella free. What I will advise probably is to change times to times the water sanitation program based on the TVC scoring that you are having. TVC is a very cheap and quick test that you can run on water. Most of the time people rely only on chlorine, for example, or acids because they are cheap and they do the job. The problem, if you got biofilms in the lines, then you should start to change your products with products containing peroxides, for example, and other products that are helping you not only are destroying the biofilms, but also are removing the biofilms in a way that they are not plugging the lines. Feed, it's a very important part. We must ensure that the feed is clean. Now, most people are focusing a sanitation program on the water, but not on the feed. But in reality, if you get salmonella on farm, it's more because of contaminated feed rather than water. And that is more likely to happen because, for example, we have got contaminated raw material. We have got soya beans, rapeseeds. Rapeseed is canola in U.S. And all sorts of oils that we are using for as a protein source in feed, which are likely to be contaminated. If you see in Europe, for example, and that's not only... So the most common strain found in Europe, Salmonella strain in the last 2 years, has been Salmonella Cadogo. And Salmonella Cadogo is found in the proteins that we are using in the feed. And that's because we are importing, in the United Kingdom, probably the 90% of soybean is all imported from abroad. And that is carrying Salmonella as well. So we are starting to see a sharp rise in all these exotic strains, Cadogo and Bocani. The feed sanitation is extremely important in the raw material and in the finished feed. Sometimes we can have salmonella also in the feed meal, so we can have possible decontamination on the feed, despite you are using heat treatment. So that's why feed sanitation with proper feed sanitizer are very important, because not only they are avoiding that salmonella get into the meal, but they're also avoiding salmonella get on your farm. So these four actions negative chicks, biosecurity, clean feed, and clean water are, the most important action in order to get a salmonella-free supply chain in pullets.
It requires a holistic and yes. broad approach.
Yes, yes. There is not a single action that can solve your problem.
If you're enjoying this episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family. You can also set the notifications to on from our channel so you don't miss any other upcoming episodes. And please feel free to leave us your comments at any time. Your feedback is always valuable to us. So we talked about the importance of feed and maintaining feed status as being clean. What are some of the novel ways or innovative ways that we can use to control salmonella in feed?
Basically, I can also rely to what I said before for the feed. Basically, we have got different. In the past, we were mainly focused at treating the finished feed. So all our effort regarding feed sanitation was mainly happening into the mixer at the feed mill to treat all the feed mill. Today, we are trying to change the approach for different reasons. Both, it's always cost, and it's also efficiency. Cost, because treating finished feed, of course, you will need to treat the whole bunch of feed. So there will be extra cost because of the dosage that you are doing and the amounts of chemicals that you are using. So today we can do different approach. For example, treating only the raw material, if we know that that's the problem that we are starting to have, some raw material, we already know that is starting to be salmonella positive from the source. If you're importing, for example, from Argentina, from Brazil, Paraguay, and you already know that you're starting to have some problem, then you can focus your effort directly on the raw material so that you can reduce the amounts of chemicals that you're using in the finished products or, for example, in the whole wheat. Basically, we can do different intervention points in the mill. Another intervention point, for example, which is good on a strategy to reduce the overall prevalence of salmonella is starting to flush the mill a bit more often than we do today. Some people don't consider flushing the mill, but flushing the mill, at least on a weekly basis, it's extremely important to reducing not only salmonella, but also pathogens that can be present in the pipes in the mill. And that's extremely cheap compared to medicating the feed or treating the feed. It's very cheap and very reliable.
So how would a mill manager flush the mill? What steps would they take?
For example, what I will suggest is always you always need to use a carrier for your sanitizer, your the products that you are using. The best carrier, in my opinion, are all grain because they are very good absorbing. You don't need to use many tons, just 2-3 tons. Are more than enough for a weekly, flushing. So if you consider in normal feed, for example, you will be using, in our case, around 1-2 kilograms per ton. If you're using for flushing, you can use also higher than that. You can use up to 6-10 kilograms per ton because the cost is extremely reduced. If you're using only 2-3 tons for flushing the mill, you are talking about probably less than 1 IBC per year, which is basically nothing for what you get. And the good things is you are using let's assume 3 tons of grain for any grain, whole wheat, for example, as a carrier, and you can reuse that as well. So you can reuse the following week, assuming that that's negative because you got that week for the testing there. Or eventually you can just top up only 10% of that. The only things I will advise for when you do flushing, because the dosage that you are using is higher, you must go higher. I would advise to flush at the end of the day, at the end of the activities there, so there won't be many people around because there will be that extra smell. It's not because there is any, it's not affecting human health or anything, just the smell that some people maybe don't like because it's too strong. So I would suggest to do or at the end of the day or, for example, on the Friday night or Saturday morning, depending on how the meal is working. Flushing is good in the meal, and ideally you can also do flushing on farm as well in the feeder lines.
So does the product bind to the salmonella or does it kill the salmonella or how does it work?
Basically what is happening is that if you're using, this is another good question, because if I'm using a feed sanitizer, like for example, formaldehyde-based plus organic acids to kill salmonella in feed, then the best application point will be in the mixer, because you want that the chemicals is entering uniformly, evenly in the feed particles. But if you're using only for flushing, because flushing is your main purpose, then you don't need the feed, the chemicals to enter inside the particles. You are happy with the chemicals staying on the outside of the particles, because you want to that the chemicals, high concentration, high level of chemicals, to be in touch with the pipes, with equipment. Then you can consider as an application point, for example, in the post pelleting, if we are pelleting or directly on the mushroom, the whole wheat. And why we want to do that? Because you want to ensure that there is enough sanitizer on the surface of the particles. Now, in our case, we got products formaldehyde based in US and organic acids. The difference is that if it was only organic acids, you don't have much volatility in organic acids. But once that you are using products based on formaldehydes in US or in aldehydes in Europe, there is this extra volatility that you have, these fumes, which it's what you actually need to help cleaning the pipes. Now, this is not an alternative to products that have been created only to clean those lines, but sometimes on farms, if there are birds in, you don't have any alternative. So rather than keep dirty lines, better using products like formaldehyde organic acids and aldehyde organic acids products to reduce that bacteria presence in the pipes, rather than wait for turnaround, for example.
So, and maybe this is more relevant for broilers than for layers, but what about high temperature pelleting? Is that a tool that producers or feed mills can use?
Yes, so that is like an extremely good tool. Now, for example, we have got some guidance from the breeders' company, 85 degrees for 6 minutes. That's extremely good at killing pathogens. The advantage of using a proper feed sanitizer is that heat treatment will not help at preventing that salmonella can access the feed through raw material, for example. So treating raw material directly, which you can do with sanitizer, will help at keeping the feed meal clean from salmonella, ideally, so that you won't even have salmonella build up into the meal. And the other point is, after heating, the feed goes into the cooler, so can get recontaminated. Can get recontaminated during storage, during transport on farm. So treating the feed with sanitizer will give you that cross, that protection against recontamination, which you won't have with heat treatment. And then we have got another point, which in the past I didn't get these questions. But now when I go visiting feed mill, I get the questions, how can we reduce the temperature? Because we are spending too much money on the cost of the energy bill. Then feed sanitation is not, feed sanitation and heat treatment are two different things, but they can be used together. For example, rather than 85 degrees, you can go to 82, 83 degrees if you are using feed sanitations. Then it starts to be, you need to always to have that balance where you will never compromise on feed safety, but you will compromise on the energy that you are using with a view to reduce the energy usage in the feed mill.
You know, there's a couple of other outside factors maybe that influenced decisions on how to sanitize feed. So how do we prevent salmonella in feed in a more sustainable way? And then what's the impact on bird welfare if we do a good job of sanitizing?
Basically, in my case, for example, as Anitox, when Anitox is developing products, is always keeping in mind sustainability. And why? Because usually we tend to create products with a stronger killing power, and forgive me for these words, compared to organic acids blend. What that means that with much less amounts of chemicals, you are able to kill more bacteria, more pathogens. So you are losing much less chemicals during all year to clean the same amounts of feed. For example, if you're using formaldehyde-based products in US with organic acids like we have, or in Europe, where we have got similar products based on aldehyde rather than formaldehyde, because in Europe you can do that, you need probably one quarter of the products to get that 2-3 logs reduction that you will get only using 3-6 kilogram per tons of organic acids blend. And what that means, if you are if your feed mill, let's say a normal feed mill producing 300,000 tons of feed per year, will be using around less than 2,000 tons of organic acids per year to get that 2-3 logs reduction. You can do the same with our products. You can get the same, even better than that 2-3 logs reduction, but just using 500 tons compared to 2,000 tons. So not only is more sustainable because you need to produce 1,500 less tons of chemicals, but it's also for the feed mill because you will have 1,500 less IBC, less trucks going in and out from the mill, less waste management. So it's a win-win situation for both the birds and the mill.
And how about the impact of feed hygiene and bird welfare? So yes. Presumably the products are effective against other bacteria as well.
Yes. So basically when you are sanitizing your feet, we are not only ticking the box of biosecurity because we are killing Salmonella. Organic acids, formaldehyde, aldehyde-based products, they are not selective. So they will be killing all sorts of pathogens which are normally found in feed. We always talk about Salmonella, but actually normal pathogens like E. coli, Enterococcus, Clostridia, they are normally present in feed. We don't live in a sterile world. And sometimes you can find birds with high level of E. coli, Enterococcus, Clostridium in the intestine, and they are still producing well. The problem is when the birds have got stressor, for example, picking time for layers, vaccinations, or just management problem that can stress the birds, then we may have bit of enteritis, for example, intestinal inflammation. And in this situation, cleaner feed will play a really important part because you will have less inflammations. So the birds won't be wasting energy for the inflammation system, for the immune response, and you will have better absorption of nutrients. And then you will have also better welfare of the birds. For example, at Sanitox, we have done some study with both University of Georgia and Arkansas to show the difference between birds fed with sanitized feed and control, also on the quality of the eggs, for example, because you will have less pathogen on the eggs, which therefore you will have less pathogen also on the new hatched chicks. So it's also better chicks quality, which is basically chicks welfare as well, chicks health there. And also in the study that we usually do, we see that when you are sanitizing feed, we say sanitizing feed, but basically feed treat with formaldehyde and organic acids, you will have better performance regarding eggs production, for example, for layers. The welfare it's really affected also in broiler, for example, because in Europe we consider pododermatitis, for example, as a welfare factor. And we see that birds fed with sanitized feed, they show less pododermatitis level because we thought that intestinal health is better, so you will have less scoring and wet litter for that. So there are so many different factors that you are targeting. It's not only reduction in Salmonella and biosecurity, but is actually a real improvement of the welfare of the birds.
Well, that's been some great information on the control of Salmonella and the practical tips on how to reduce the incidence. So thanks a lot for that, Antonio.
Thanks to you.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boehringer Ingelheim. Health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International. Creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. For over 40 years, Jeffo has been redefining animal nutrition with high-performance, non-medicated solutions. At the core is Jeffo Matrix technology, a disruptive approach that synchronizes nutrient release for precise delivery. Active in 65 countries, we develop cutting-edge formulas, essential oils, enzymes, and acidifiers to optimize health, performance, and reproduction. Jeffo is transforming animal feeding, making life easier for animals and people who care for them.
We've got a few closing questions that we'd like to ask our guests. So do you have a favorite poultry-related book or resource that you use in your career?
Yeah, I wanted to say poultry disease, the edition, I know that there have been several editions now. The one that I like, I like a lot, is Mark Parkinson and Paul McMullen one, which I think is around 2010. And just because Paul McMullen was probably the guy that teach me the most on regarding poultry. He was my boss when I was working as a vet here in UK. But actually, looking at you, I really like the Avian Pathology of Turkey, the book that you got on your back there. I just that's one of my favorites as well. I recognize, as soon as I saw that, I recognize one of my favorite books as well, that if you don't understand the physiology of the birds, you won't understand any problem.
Yeah, it's a good one. How about outside of agriculture? What's your favorite book or resource, maybe for personal or enjoyment?
To be honest, in my case, I like lots of history. So I really like history books, and I really like biography, for example. The recent biography that I read was one from Obama as well, so coming back to U.S. I like all the autobiography of the presidents like Obama, but, you know, I don't have left or right. I like all of them. I like Boris Johnson autobiography or any. I really like history because history is teaching you lessons that are still to happen. So if everybody will be know knowledgeable about history, most of the problems we have got today will be avoided.
And then finally, what do you think is necessary for a person to be successful in the animal health field? What characteristics?
I would like to say knowledgeable, but it's not that. I think the most important characteristic, it's actually it's empathy. Because most of the time you don't deal with the animals, you don't deal with the chickens, you deal with the farmers, you deal with the poultry producer, with the managers, and if you got a good relation with people, it will translate to good relation with the birds. You need to empower people. You need to try to make them understand how important is birds' health, not just as a matter of task that they need to complete. So what I always say, when you work on animals, you actually don't work. You work on the animals, but you work more on the owners. And you need to get that kind of very good relation with the owners, with the producers. It's more empathy.
Well, Antonio, thank you very much for joining us today. It was a really informative and interesting interview. I really enjoyed it. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Thanks.
That concludes another episode of the Poultry Podcast Show hosted by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated for future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is always invaluable to us. Visit our website at wisenetics.com and learn more about all our podcast segments for poultry, swine, dairy, beef, feed mill, and even pet food. I'm Doug Corver, and I'll see you next time on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.